up, everybody? Welcome to Spectacular Show. Thank you for tuning in for day four of our eight-day Goldberg's special event. Today, we're going to be talking about an episode of the show that I picked, and my guest for today, none other, actor, podcaster, and my main squeeze... Samantha Jane Tilton is here.
Heyo, what's up, everybody?
Hey, thanks for being with me in this studio apartment again, babe.
Thanks for being here with me in a studio apartment, babe.
You got it. Very happy to be here. Very happy to be doing this with you today. The episode that I picked to talk about, spoiler alert, by the way, we're going to get into it. So if you don't want to know, then watch the episode first, which is available on Hulu, and then come on back here. But today... we are talking about one of my favorite episodes of the Goldbergs, Season 4, Episode 10, Han Uka Solo. Which I love this episode title name because it's a Hanukkah solo for Erica, right, mm-hmm. in the episode. But of course, this is the subplot of the other plot in the episode is that Adam, back in 1980-something, pays Johnny Atkins, who is like the funniest character, so funny. He pays Johnny Atkins for a bootleg copy of the Star Wars Holiday Special, which mm-hmm. I've actually never seen it, and I'm a big Star Wars fan, but it's notoriously bad. And that's basically how the episode opens up, is Adam buying the tape from Johnny Atkins, and then going home and interrupting his dad to explain to him that he has this tape, and that it's like life-changing news for Murray.
I'm just picturing Murray's expression when it was done.
Yeah, Murray was literally falling asleep while he was explaining it to him. And he's like, no dozing!
No dozing! No dozing! Adam's voice is so high and squeaky.
Yeah. Well, this is actually season four. He's starting to get, like, the Canadian goose voice that, like, most teenage boys gets.
It's so funny.
That original season especially, he was so squeaky. He was such a little kid.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
His voice just gets better as he goes into puberty.
Absolutely better and better. And I love how after the opening scene where he like bores Murray back to sleep with his news, his life-altering news, they cut to the high school and Barry and Erica and like all their friends are in a chorus class. And they're all singing Jingle Bells and whatever. And then they start singing Dreidel, Dreidel, Dreidel. And Miss Cinnamon, who's played by Anna Gasteyer, their chorus teacher, like looks at her with her hand like, go ahead, this is your part. And she said, I didn't sign up for this. And she said, then why is your name on the sign-up sheet?
In sparkle pen. She's like...
sparkle pen. With a heart over the I in Erica.
Like, that is not my handwriting, and I would never dot my I with a heart. Oh, damn it! And she knows it's her mom that did it.
So funny. She ends up storming back home to her mom. And she's like, how could you? And she says something like, hi there, my little schmoopaloo. And she says, don't schmoopaloo me!
She immediately uses Pops against her. So Beverly immediately uses Pops against Erica. She's like, you can't break Pops' heart. Like,
yeah, he looks forward to you singing the song every year.
Every year, dreidel, dreidel, dreidel. She's got...
But then I love that she goes in there to tell Pops, I don't care, I'm telling him no. And she goes in, Pops, and he says, yes, sweetheart, what can I do to make your life better
yes!
today? And she goes walking back into the kitchen, and she's like, all right, damn you, I'll sing it. And
she goes, God damn it, he is adorable. Oh.
Yeah, exactly.
So funny.
And this part right here, I love so much because it feels so real. This is where now Murray and Adam have finished watching the Star Wars special. And Adam knows it's bad, but he like can't admit it. And he's so mad. And he's like listing all the things that are wrong with it. And then Murray is just like, what are you so mad about? And Adam says it. It's like the most powerful line in the episode, I think. He goes, I love Star Wars. It's my life. if this is bad, then, you know, basically, like, he's like, if this is bad.
He has to question his whole life. He has to question all of his childhood choices of, like, what he has to reevaluate everything he ever loved because the Star Wars holiday movie was bad.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And it's just such a, I just love that line. Because for someone like him, it is his whole life.
It is his whole life. And Murray says, yeah, and their names. What were their names?
They're like Itchy and...
Itchy and, like, Scratchy, although those weren't their names. He's like, Itchy and... I don't even know their names.
Itchy and Lumpy.
Itchy and Lumpy. He's like, what are those names? And Adam's like, I don't know!
They couldn't have spent an extra 15 minutes on the names.
He said, like, 15 seconds. They couldn't have spent, like, 15 seconds.
And I love it. Murray's,
oh my god.
Adam's like, and why the hell is Jefferson Starship playing for the Empire? And then Murray goes, the name Starship's in their name. That one actually makes sense to me.
So good.
So good. And this is, at some point now, I don't know if Erica says she won't do it or she already gave the part away. So Bev makes blonde brownies to take them as cinnamon.
To cinnamon.
And she's scared of her at first. And then she's like, come on, have them. They're sprinkled with cinnamon, just like you or something. They're both us, a blondie for this, you know, whatever.
A blondie and cinnamon. Yeah. See, we belong together, she says.
And then she takes a bite and she's like, okay, now I need a favor or something. And she's like, I knew it. These aren't sprinkled with cinnamon. They're sprinkled with deceit.
So good.
So good. So funny. And then I think what Leia does, I think Bev goes home and tells Erica, you have to write the best Sonic Hanukkah song of all time.
Because did they take away the, no, they didn't take away the religious music or the holiday music yet at this point. Because they do at some point. But she tells Erica, go ahead.
She was mad because she didn't want her to sing Dreidel, 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 but Anna Gastar is like, well, what other one would you like?
Right.
And she starts playing, like, a couple of depressing songs, and she was just like, all right, I get it. Erica will write her own one or something.
She doesn't actually, and she doesn't even play, she goes, okay, there is one other one. Chai, chai, chai. And she, like, does the Jewish ha, and Beverly's just like, you just spit all over me? Okay, I will have.
Yeah. She's so mad about it.
Cha, cha.
Fine, I will get Erica to write her own song or whatever, and she goes home to get her to write. And I love this scene because she's trying so hard to manipulate Erica into writing. She's like, you just have to write an all-time classic Hanukkah song. How hard is that? Even Miss Cinema was like, good luck cracking that nut or something. Like, nobody's ever been able to crack that. But I love that she goes home and gets Erica. She starts taunting her, like, you're not up to the challenge or whatever?
Yeah.
And then Barry comes in and he's like, don't even bother. I'm going to write the best Hanukkah song of all time.
And Erica's like, oh no, you're not gonna pit us against each other to get me to do this. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
And then Barry's like, well, you don't have to because I'm gonna write the best one ever. And then it just
escalates from there, and they're screaming at each other, and then Beverly goes, yay!
She's so twisted.
She's so happy that they're gonna be like fighting really hard to.
No, she's got two people doing her bidding, like trying to make this song. Knowing. Although she wears mom goggles, I was going to say, knowing that Barry's not going to create a great Hanukkah song.
I know. And we get the intersplice here of Pops looking for Adam, and he walks in, and Adam's ripping down all of his posters. Or he's watching, like, Ghostbusters 2, and he's like, it's riddled with logical inaccuracies. How can they make the Statue of Liberty walk with a Nintendo controller and some magic slime? And then he starts tearing apart all the movie posters he has on his wall, like Jaws the Revenge. I forget which Jaws movie it is.
This time it's personal.
Yeah.
He's like, personal? Like, how does a shark know that his friend was all the way, where did he go? I forgot where this one took place, but he's like, he traveled all the way to a different ocean.
Yeah. Why would a shark leave New England to go to Florida to get revenge on a guy who killed his shark friend? And he goes, this time it's personal? No! They're sharks! It's not personal! But I love that Pops is, like, trying to sell him on it, because he doesn't like that he's, like, giving up all of his stuff.
Yeah.
And Pops is trying to sell him on. He goes, I know you love that movie. And he goes, this time it's personal? It's just sharks! It's not personal! And then I think Pops says the line, like, well, sharks have feelings,
yes,
too.
Yes, exactly! It's like, Adam starts, like, questioning everything that he loves. Being a kid, and it's like Pops is so upset
by it because he loves Adam's general sense of wonder and
yes.
and love of life and just what he loves.
Even as he gets older, he doesn't let go of his toys. He doesn't let go of, like, playing and imagining, you know, with his mm-hmm. imagination. And, yeah.
And I love that, so Adam gets mad and he starts, like, I gotta get rid of all the little kid stuff in this room. So he picks up a Kermit bucket and he's like, oh, man. He goes to throw something away, but it's a Kermit bucket. He's like, damn it. He goes to throw that in a bucket. So he throws that in another bucket, which is a Ninja Turtles bucket. And then he's like, damn it. This is going to be harder than I thought. I need a man-style trash receptacle or something.
I'm going to go downstairs and find me a man's garbage bag.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, my God.
And from here, we get like the test audition for Barry and Erica, where Erica's like, I don't mean to pump it up too much, but prepare to hear the best Hanukkah song ever written in the universe. She's just basically singing happy birthday.
It starts off well because she's doing like her riffs like Christina Aguilera and her voice is gorgeous and she's like, happy Hanukkah. And then all of a sudden the tune gently goes into happy birthday. Just happy Hanukkah.
And I love when she gets to the core, like the third line. Happy Hanukkah, dear everyone.
And Beverly goes, how could you let this happen, Erica?
How hard is it to write an all-time classic song? But then I love that that after she fails, Barry comes in with his rap, and he starts rapping about Hanukkah and who invented it, and then it was about how the guy used to hunt dinosaurs.
Judah Maccabee
used to be a dinosaur hunter. And they're like, stop, that song is riddled with inaccuracies. He's like, yeah, I wrote a song about a holiday that's about candles and I added dinosaurs. It's called Spicing It Up.
And his friends come in to bust out a beat for him.
Oh, I love whenever the JTP drops a beat and it's always the...
I know.
It's just the same beat every time they drop one. It's so outrageous. It's so stupid.
Oh, it's so good.
I like here when Pops goes to find Adam and he's like, Mari says, oh, he's like upstairs tearing up all of his stuff or whatever. And he goes, why? That's the stuff he loves. That's what I love about the kid. It's sense of childlike wonder.
Yep.
And Mari goes, eh, you get older and you forget about all that stuff. Like his friend Greg on his baseball team. So normal, so good at shortstop. And I love that Pops goes, his childlike wonder is the best thing about him. And I'm going to show him there's plenty of wonder left in this world. And you're going to have to get off your tuchus to stop me. And he runs out of the room. And Murray, like, leans forward for an instant. And then he's just like, no. You know, and he's just like, well played, old man. Well played.
So good.
So Pops excitedly runs up to Adam's room. And he's like, hey, I've got to take you somewhere to show you something great. It's a movie. Made by your favorite guy that made Star Wars, George Lucas. And then Adam goes, really? And he says, yeah. And they cast that foxy one from Back in the Future. Back in the Future, he calls it. Or they casted that foxy Leah Thompson from Back in the Future. And it's produced by one of your all-time greats, Steven Spielberg. Or it's like written, it's like Spielberg, Lucas.
He says something about Indiana Jones, doesn't he? He says something.
The creator of Indiana
Jones.
Yes.
And Adam's like, oh, boy. Like, and then,
go ahead. No, you go.
No. I was just thinking, I love Pops because he says Back in the Future. And it just made me laugh too because there's another episode it has to do with Batman. And Adam and everybody else calls him Batman. And Pops just says it totally every single time. Batman. Batman. And at one point, Adam's just like, you don't even say it right. You say Batman. It's Batman.
That's so funny.
Yeah. Not this episode, but just a great Pops thing.
Yeah. Oh, it's such a great Pops thing.
So, yeah. So then he takes, then the three of them go to the movie, right, Murray?
They go to see Howard the Duck, but cut in here is where there's been a fight and, like, parents have the songs revoked or whatever.
Yes.
And so now, or the songs aren't revoked yet, but
yeah.
Beverly's basically saying, we need more Hanukkah songs, and then they don't have any Hanukkah songs, and so then the principal gets mad, and first of all, I love that the principal calls it Chanukkah. He's like, you can't have the holiday show without any Chanukkah songs. And he says Chanukkah, like, five times. And then eventually he blows up on them and says, I'm paying you, you figure it out. And then they have to sing all non-religious songs. And
they're it's like Uncle Gary's coming to town. Like, yeah, what do they say?
Here comes Uncle Doug.
Oh, yeah, Uncle Doug.
And then it's like, we wish you a snowy Tuesday. What were they? We wish you a snowy Tuesday. Oh, winter time. Oh.
That's so great. Here comes Uncle Doug. Here comes. They're like, who's Uncle Doug?
So then, like all the, and then the teacher just tells them, we can't. Johnny Atkins goes, why are we singing these weird songs? And she says, well, someone who names should be named, someone who will remain nameless, Beverly Goldberg, ruined everything. Oops, I let it slip. So then they all start booing Barry and Erica. It's so funny.
Oh my God.
And then that's where Erica's like, forget it. I'm not doing this. Like, whatever. And she goes back and she tells her mom, I'm not doing it. I'm not singing it. I'm telling Pops. And she goes, no, no, no. And she goes in and says, Pops, I'm sorry. I know you like when I sing that song, but I'm not singing it this year. And he's like, What do you mean? What are you talking about? And she goes, that song, the Hanukkah solo. I'm not doing it this year. And Pops goes, oh, I see. Listen, your mother's been lying to you for a decade.
Yeah.
Enjoy, or good luck with that, or whatever. And he gets up and leaves the room.
He just looks so just like, he's like, oh. Like, as if he's about to be like, it's okay, I understand. Oh, here's what happened. Your mother's been lying to you for your entire life.
Yeah. You know? And then he just scoots out of
the room. Yeah. See you later.
And this is great because this is where Erica blows up on her and they have the fight and Bev comes clean and she says, okay, fine. I tricked you to get you to sing for me. Yes. But, and this is what I love about the Goldbergs so much.
I got the chills.
She's like, when you were a baby, you sang to me all the time. I loved hearing you sing. And now you'll never do anything I ask you. So yeah, I wanted to hear you sing. And then Erica says like, well, when you ask me, that's different than signing me up. And, you know, I kind of want to. I'll sing for you.
Well, oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, you go ahead.
No, I was going to say, she said, well, why don't you ask me like a normal person or whatever? And she goes, I did ask you. I've asked you, and whenever I ever ask you for anything, it makes you even more so not do it. Like, yes, she said something right. Like that. Like, even if I ask you, then it's even more of a reason that you won't do it, because I asked you, and then it's annoying, and then whatever she says.
Yeah.
And then when she explains the, like, when Beverly gets all hearted about it, and she's like, I love hearing you, and that's all I want. It's such a tender moment because it's this like, God, you're annoying, Mom, and like you're being a little shit, my little daughter. But and then it gets to the truth, which is just like she misses her little girl.
Mm-hmm.
She misses having that easier relationship without it having to be so combative and difficult. Yes. And so she manipulates, but it comes from a place of that she just wants to hear her daughter. She wants to experience things with her.
Yes.
And then when she was honest and heartfelt, Erica was like, well, when you say it like that, then I want to do it.
Right.
Communication, man. These Goldbergs. It all comes down to communication.
I do love that they always resolve everything at like the 19th minute.
Yes.
From here, this point, from this moment on, like the piano, I think, picks up right from there. And from this moment on, the whole rest of this episode is lights out. It's so good.
Yep. I just remembered something else, but that's not until the end.
Okay.
So I'm with you.
Because from here, you know, I think it's from right here, the piano starts singing and then it cuts, the piano starts playing and then it cuts to Erica, who is singing the lead in a song, Put a Little Love in Your Heart, she's singing.
Think of your fellow man.
Yeah. And she's so good.
Put a little love in your heart.
Yeah.
That's, I've been wanting John, so you guys don't know this, but I've been wanting John to see Scrooged for like a million years. And that song is like, to me, like reminds me of Scrooged. And it's just like, oh, I just love that song. And then with that angel voice of Erica's, mm-hmm. it's just like, and it's so beautiful because I guess it's a holiday song, but it's like, it's just like a good soul.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's all goodness.
And
I freaking love it.
It's very powerful. And she sings it so well. Oh my God. She's so good at it. And I love it because while this is happening, Beverly is just sitting in the crowd, just crying, like just glowing and crying.
Mm.
And
yeah,
you can. And it's great because Erica's really like, she's really selling it. She's singing the shit out of
it. Oh, she's singing the hell out of it. Yeah. Like, her whole beat is just, oh.
Yeah.
Look at the chills. Guys, if you could see every time I talk about the Goldbergs and especially like those moments, I have the goosebumps so bad on my arms again. Mm-hmm. This is bananas.
This show does that a lot.
Oh. This one.
Yeah, this part here. So while Erica is playing, they cut back to Adam, who is sitting. It's like nighttime, and he's like sitting at the kitchen table or whatever, the dining room table. And Pops comes over with the holiday special, and he says, you know, I wanted to give this back to you. And he's like, why? You know, this is garbage or whatever. And he goes, yeah, but I think you're forgetting about somebody.
Yep.
And he goes, this guy. And he holds out a Boba Fett action figure. And Boba Fett is, in Star Wars, I mean, granted, over time, he got involved more in the story and stuff. But in the original Star Wars trilogy, mm-hmm. those three, Boba Fett was this character who had like six lines, but he was wildly popular. He's like this crazy popular character. And his first appearance was in this movie. It was in this cartoon. Before Empire Strikes Back, Boba Fett was in this cartoon. And Pop said, you know, I think you forgot this guy. And Adam says, well, this was made before Empire Strikes Back. This is like his first appearance. You could say this thing gave us Boba Fett. And he said, all I'm saying, kiddo, is if with the right point of view, this special is pretty damn special. And Adam, you know, says, you know, thanks, Pops, or whatever. And he stops him, and he says, Pops, and he turns around, and he says, I don't get it. How do you always see the good in everything? And, getting moved here. Pops tells him, you know, it's not hard if you have that childlike wonder, if you never lose it. And Adam goes, really? And he goes, people like us always have it. And it's such a genuine moment, because Adam feels like such an outsider. Mm-hmm. And his grandfather tells him, like, no, there's people like us everywhere, man. Like, you're not alone. Oh, God. I'm getting choked up here. But he says, you know, thanks, Pops, I love you. And he says, I know. And I know is, you know, what Han Solo says to Princess Leia in the movie. And it was just so moving to me that this, you know, this old guy, he cared so deeply that Adam stayed true to himself, that, like, he went out of his way, way out of his way, to find a way to make Adam like this. And it's just such a huge gesture. And it just, oh, my God. I fucking cry, like, every time I see it. Even talking about it, I'm, like, trying so hard not to cry right now. And
too late.
I know. Like, and, like, I can't even talk about it without getting choked up. But, yeah, he hugs him, and then they cut back to Erica, who's, like, bringing the fucking house down. Beverly. They cut to her in the audience after Erica goes out on the high note. And she's bawling. And then she looks around to everybody around her, and she goes, I had to lie to make this happen, but it was totally worth it.
It's funny, guys, because, like, when we were picking episodes, our own personals, I knew, without even having to think of, like, all of the episodes of the Goldbergs, because they're in their eighth season now, which we have not started. We're, like, saving it. Yeah. But we've seen all of every episode otherwise through seven. And I knew this one was going to be one of the two that you picked.
Yeah. It's one of my favorite ones.
Can I ask you something?
Mm-hmm.
Why does it mean so much to you, this? Like, what is it about what Pops says, what Pops does, that gets you every time?
It's what Pops says and does. I just think it's the... I love Adam and Pops' relationship on the show. And it's such a grand gesture. Most people, I don't think, would dig that deep to find something. But he goes back and watches that horrible movie that he didn't even watch with Adam the first time.
Yeah.
So he had to watch it to find a way. And then he knows Adam well enough to, like, bring this up about this guy, this Boba Fett character, yep. you know? And, I mean, in all honesty, we didn't have the same relationship, but we had our own wonderful relationship in the same way. But, like, my great uncle, John, who was, he was really my grandfather, you know, on my mom, my grandfather on my mom's side died when I was really young. So, you know, he kind of became my grandfather, and it just reminds me of him. Because we, you know, he was just the same type of a deal, like heart of gold, like the greatest dude. So I think it, and he died not too long ago, just a few years ago. So, you know, I knew him for most of my life. And I think it reminds me of him. And I think that's part of it, too.
You know, I unfortunately, I didn't get to meet your Uncle John. And we talk about that a lot, because I wish I did, because he sounds like, you know, you guys don't know, but everything I've ever heard just sounds absolutely amazing. And I wonder, kind of like Adam, if some of how you got to stay the way you are with your childlike sense of wonder and is because of, like, seeing him. And
I mean, maybe, you know, he it's funny, he was a guy that he really loved pro wrestling. And as he got like older, he didn't watch it as much, you know, probably the last 10 years,
yeah.
20 years of his life. But, you know, he used to get tapes back in, I don't know, the late 80s, mid to late 80s. There was a video store not far from his house in Boston. And he like knew the guy. So like we'd walk in there and he didn't even pay. The guy would just be like, hey, Johnny, you know, and he'd give him the tapes. This is my nephew here. Oh, you know, he has some Looney Tunes. He has a wrestling tape, whatever, you know. So, yeah, I did have a very special relationship with him. And I think for me, it just, you know, in its own way, it reminds me of him.
If it's okay with you, I kind of like just knowing you and then knowing that you have your listeners and people that connect with you. I love letting them know a little bit more about you and whether you like that or not. But I just think the childlike sense of wonder that we talk about in this episode, that is like, I think that how this podcast became, because you love to laugh. You love things being silly. You love things being able to be like light. And not everybody can go to that place. And you haven't lost that, as hard as life may have been, and you're an adult and you deal with adult things and stressful stuff, but you always have that. Like, I mean, even in this apartment, guys, if you saw us, we like make up songs and dances to like the stupidest stuff like multiple times a day, and that's because we're like big kids together.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think this speaks very much to who you are.
Yeah. I think you're probably right.
I love that you chose this episode.
Me too. And before we wrap up about it, I just want to say,
yeah, please.
After all of that, which is like, I think still one of the best episodes of the series, after all of that happens, at the end of the episode, you get a Tasty Boys video.
Oh, yeah.
Where
oh,
Barry and the JTP and Adam are rapping like Beastie Boys style. Like, so silly.
It's so funny.
Yeah. And it's just, that's what I mean. That's how high the production quality of the show is. There's a Beastie Boys music video starring them at the end of this magnificent episode.
Yep. It's such a mixed, it's like a smorgasbord of like emotions and genres and music and like speed, and it has so much packed into a 21-minute episode.
Yeah.
You know? It's really wonderful. It's so well done.
It really is.
Yeah.
Is there anything else you want to say about this one?
I just love it. I love Pops. Pops is, man, if, you know what? Like, it actually makes complete sense. So Adam F. Goldberg, the creator of the show, it's based on his real life and family. Pops really was his best friend in his life.
Right.
And if an ounce of that is true, that that's how Pops was, which it seems like it was, look what came out of it. Look at the influence. One person saying, go for it. I believe in you. Don't stop. This guy created his own show that affects, we're talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's on its 8th season, making people laugh, making people cry. Like, goddamn, let's support being creative, being an oddball, carrying around a video camera, being a nerd, liking nerdy things. Like, that's the best crap. It's the best, and it's the reason that we have this to talk about. So, I just think it's awesome.
That's, I mean, it's the whole reason I like to do the show is I just I want to geek out about stuff.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, there's so much stuff I enjoy and want to talk about, but unless you're doing it like this, I can't, especially that you don't see anybody anymore, there's really no one to talk to about it anymore, you know?
Shout out to the real Pops for everything that you brought to this life when you did and that you influenced Adam F. Goldberg. And shout out to George Segal for being so goddamn awesome and wonderful at what you do. And I love watching movies of you from when you were in your heydays of starting out acting that my dad shows me. And goddamn, all of this is just so good. Adam F. Goldberg, man. Everybody.
Adam F. Goldberg. And to Samantha Jane Tilton, thank you. And all of you guys listening, thank you.
Thank you, John O'Connor. Thank you, guys.
This has been day 4 of our Goldbergs event. So tomorrow, we will see you guys for number 5.
Happy Hanukkah! I'm a Jew. I can say it.